everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. Today, we continue our journey of studying the book of Proverbs, and we are on Proverbs chapter 17, a chapter that focuses heavily on relationships and the qualities that help them thrive. I am Pamela Ferguson, and joining me in this conversation today are my co-hosts, Tamara Evans and Vanessa Rowe. Relationships, friends, are among God's greatest gifts, but they can also be among our greatest challenges. Whether it's family, friends, marriages, workplace, or church communities, relationships require wisdom, patience, grace, and understanding. Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 17 reminds us that strong relationships aren't built on perfection. They are built on love, forgiveness, loyalty, and wise communication. One of the most powerful verses in this chapter is, "A friend loves at all times." That's a beautiful picture of God's love towards us and a challenge for how we should treat others. This chapter also speaks about forgiveness, emotional help, and knowing when to speak and when to remain silent. In a culture that often encourages division and offense, Proverbs chapter 17 calls us towards reconciliation, understanding, and relationship that reflects God's heart. It's that time now to go get your coffee, get your tea, whatever your favorite drink, and join Tamara, Vanessa, and I as we discuss how wisdom helps us to build healthier, stronger, and more Christ-centered relationships. Welcome, Tamara. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
I was thinking I could do it a caramel macchiato, double shot espresso, upside down, no oat milk, just regular.
My drink options are blah. I only drink water, tea, or coffee. That's it.
I can't help you.
What about you, Vanessa?
I'm a water drinker.
A water drinker, mm-hmm. Yeah. Tamara's the exotic one. I believe one of the most beautiful examples of friendships, ladies, in the Bible is the relationship between David and Jonathan. Mm. That's a friendship when you look at the story that was built on loyalty, trust, and sacrifice to the point where Jonathan supported David even though it cost him personally.
Yes.
And most people have acquaintances, mm-hmm. but a friend, a true friend, remains present during every season of your life, the good times and the bad. And God has blessed me with some wonderful friends. Two of us are in this studio today, Tamara and Vanessa, who are with me and I know will be with me through thick and thinner.
Yes.
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 reads, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." Tamara and Vanessa, what makes a friendship strong during difficult seasons?
I think the verse said it itself. It says, love at all times. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, David and Jonathan, the Bible says, Jonathan loved David mm-hmm. as he loved his own soul.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So if you love someone as much as you love yourself, then you will be willing to do for that person what you would want to be done for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so that shows you that love It's something you do. Mm-hmm. It's not just words that you say. It's action that you take. Mm-hmm.
Practical.
Exactly.
That particular relationship with Jonathan and David, when you're talking about love someone like your own soul, to understand that God had determined that David would be king.
Wow.
Jonathan had to be in step with what he understood God's will was for that particular situation. And he had to come to a place where he accepted that will.
Right.
And once he accepted that will, he could then serve in a way that will protect David from his own father.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And cause him to be in a place of safety because he understood that his heavenly father had a divine purpose for this man. Mm-hmm. And so even at the risk of his own, what people would say, that was your throne to ascend to.
That's what I was just thinking, Tamara. You know, this came to me. Here it is. Jonathan was supposed to be next in line to the throne. And God anointed David. It's not natural that the two of these men would love each other.
No.
But God used that example to show us what it means to love at all times. It's powerful.
It is. And it's a sense of, I understand what my purpose is. Mm-hmm. I don't have to compete with you or you because I know that God has given you your purpose. Your purpose, and I can support you in those purposes.
Right.
Where I am and love you and protect you and do what is needed or required of me by God for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so often in relationships, it doesn't work out that way.
Oh, no. No.
Because of envy, because of jealousy, because of I just don't want you to have it. And so we tear each other down and you find that good friends now become enemies.
Not everyone that is around you telling you they care for you and they mean you well, truly mean you well. And that doesn't mean you change your kindness or the way that you treat them. You just have to know it. Use wisdom to see that.
Pam, only some can go the distance. Just think about Jesus. There were 12. When he got to the cross, how much? To the tomb? You see what I'm saying? So we have to understand that there are certain, and he still used them mightily.
Yes.
You know, he came back and he visited with them. He spent time with them. He encouraged Peter. But the reality is, the distance, only a few
will go with you.
And that doesn't mean that you look down on the others.
No.
It's God giving them the grace to go that far.
Don't get upset.
Don't get upset.
Don't get upset and worked up. Just knowing, okay, you were not the one to take me to the next level. So you stay there, and I'm going where God has called me.
Yeah,
that's very serious, but it's also sobering.
Yes,
because we understand only Christ said, "I will never leave you, nor forsake you." Mm-hmm. So from birth into eternity. But the thing about being practical is, the word says in 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Yes.
So love is demonstrated. We know that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was a demonstration. God, the Father, determined, I'm going to show you how much I love you.
Yes.
And so when we talk about being practical, doesn't mean that you have to have a lot, because sometimes people don't engage because they, I ain't have nothing to give. I ain't have nothing to put.
Just a listening ear.
Listening ear.
Presence.
Your
presence means a lot.
And sometimes just saying, hey, how you doing?
Yes.
Just dropping a line to see if all is well. Because you'll be surprised. at that very moment that you say that, maybe that person is going through something mm-hmm. and said, yeah, you got a minute? Let's have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love becomes visible through action.
God designed relationships. We were never meant to do life alone. And I think relationships are beautiful. Mm-hmm. But girlfriends, they are messy too.
Yes, yes, they are.
And that's because we are imperfect people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you have misunderstanding, you have disappointments. But once we have God as the center, we know where to go in order to resolve any issue. Mm-hmm. Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive? And he said, 70 times seven. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, friends, that will protect your relationship. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness. Yeah. We ought to be quick to forgive. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, mm-hmm. but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends.
Mm-hmm.
Why is forgiveness essential in maintaining relationships?
Well, no relationship survives without grace, mm-hmm. and grace is something that we all need. And when we give grace to others, it helps when we mess up, because we expect to receive those same people's grace. Mm-hmm. And so when someone makes a mistake or says something they shouldn't have or offends us, we should be quick to forgive, so that when our turn comes, the same would be applied to us, mm-hmm. you know. And grace is something that God gives freely to yeah. us. We mm-hmm. ask him to give us grace and mercy every day. And we ask it of him. Mm-hmm. So why can't we expect to give it to others?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we make mistakes.
Oh, Lord.
A lot of mistakes. And all of us are imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not optional as believers that we choose, okay, no, you ain't deserving of my forgiveness, my grace. This one, yeah. No, God requires of us mm-hmm. as believers, we apply grace.
Across the board.
Right. We mm-hmm. receive this grace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember the wicked servant?
Mm-hmm.
When he owed the king forgave him. And then he had
yeah.
someone who owed him. And he put him in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, you just receive full forgiveness.
But you turn around and then you unlock up everybody else.
But then you, out your evil heart, determine, well, no, you can pay.
Mm-hmm.
So what the king did, took him and threw him in jail because he said, look, I just forgave mm-hmm. you. And now you can't apply that forgiveness. And that is an example what Christ wants us to follow. Look, think about how far you have fallen.
Yes.
And what I had to do to forgive you. And now you are required as a believer
mm-hmm.
to forgive others. In fact, if you don't forgive, then your sins are not going to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the word mm-hmm. says. So we have to operate in a spirit of forgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to have that internal struggle.
Yeah.
When we are wronged, when we are offended. But we need to bow before the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to help us.
And that's the key word, help.
Help us mm-hmm. to forgive
right. mm-hmm.
those who have offended us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes when we take something as an offense, sometimes that's the Lord correcting us through somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we don't like the vessel he used to do it.
Yep.
But it's all a part of walking in humility
yeah.
and to receive that correction in love and apply it. And to forgive those who have offended.
You know, we're talking about relationships. And sometimes when we hold on to offense, it creates a distance in the relationship. And the unresolved hurt often damage the relationship more than that original thing
mm-hmm.
that happened. Something may have happened. And because we didn't resolve it, we've gone so far along, you look back and you said, that's what it is. It's that thing mm-hmm. that caused us to be where we are today. Mm-hmm. And because it is because we did not resolve it. There's a saying that goes, I don't know if it's scripture, but there's a saying, anger left unattended turns to bitterness. Mm-hmm. And bitterness left unattended turns to resentment. And we don't want that as believers of God. So we need to be quick to forgive. And like you say, Tamara, it's a quality that we need to ask God's help for.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's a learned behavior.
It is.
And you find that you do it the first time with the help of God, it may be a bit difficult. But then you do it again and again, mm-hmm. and you become better at it. Not saying it's easier because the situations may be different, but you realize that God, in order for me to move forward, mm-hmm. I need to forgive this person or sometimes even forgive ourselves mm-hmm. because we tend to be so hard on ourselves yeah. when things happen and we beat ourselves down more than the person who probably did something wrong to us.
Right.
So we have to give ourselves grace and give other people the grace to make the mistakes because we're not perfect.
Yeah, I could see how hard it is to forgive in many circumstances, but I had one recently that I had to apply the word to my heart. I had a situation where a family member and I had a little bit of spat about a simple issue, a simple thing concerning a family funeral. And I felt that they overstepped with some instructions that they gave. And so I went back very strong to say, you know, you step in boundaries when you want to give instructions on how I deal with my family concerning it. Mm-hmm. And it created offense. And I felt I was right in what I did. But the Spirit kept telling me, you know, if you know that your brother is offended by something you did, you have to leave your gift at the altar and go to that brother and reconcile. And so even in going to the before the Lord's Supper, you know, if you have those things happening, you shouldn't partake.
Right.
And so I had to really deal with that and reaching out to that family member and asking for their forgiveness, that if I offended them in the way that I communicated with them. And so we, you know, they said that they prayed to the Lord too and was wondering what happened. But the application of the word, when the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit brings it to you mm-hmm. and you want to, this isn't just, it's about making sure that there's love in your relationships and that you don't have any unforgiveness. But you want to make sure that you're right before the Lord with your heart. Mm-hmm. You don't want to come lifting up holy hands on a Sunday morning and know that there's something that you did not deal with. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go before the Lord in prayer on a Monday evening or in midday and understand that you're still holding a grudge mm-hmm. or somebody, there's an offense that you know is there mm-hmm. and you're not dealing with it. And then sometimes we wonder why the windows of heaven is shut up.
I was just thinking that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even as a nation, mm-hmm. you know, you're praying, Lord, send investments, or do this, or do that. The windows of heaven shut up because we have ought against one another.
Yes.
There's strife and division. Mm-hmm. There's unforgiveness. There's injustice. And so the Lord is challenging us as believers. If you are hearing this and you know, you could, okay, you say, I do nothing wrong, but you know they do think you do something wrong. Go and deal with that. Ask for that. That is walking in humility before God. And you'll be surprised the grace that will be poured out to you after you do that.
And it's so, the story that you give is so beautiful, Tamara, because the person that you went to obviously was a believer as well.
Yes.
And they received what you did. Asking for forgiveness or even forgiving someone and initiating it is not an easy thing. Mm-hmm. Particularly if you go into somebody who don't even understand it. You go to them and say, you know, I apologize if I did something to offend you. Mm-hmm. And they look at you and say, yeah, you're supposed to come back because I didn't know what was going on with you in the first place. You'd be like, should I have done that? Right? Yeah. It's not easy. But with God's help, we can do it. And that's what God wants from us as believers in our relationship with each other.
Yeah.
To seek out forgiveness and to forgive. That's how we mend the relationship. Mm-hmm. Because we are reflecting God's heart.
Yes.
He forgave us for our multitude of sin. Yeah. I mean, we go to him and we say, Father, forgive me for something that we did or we said. And we know we have his forgiveness. And we can walk out the door and do something else that requires us to go back to him for forgiveness. But how much more so should we then forgive our brothers and sisters who we feel offended us or who we may have offended? So forgiveness is so important in our walk with God. So sisters, as we close out, let's look at Proverbs chapter 17. Verse 27, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered. Why is thoughtful communication so important in relationships?
Pam, I feel that wisdom helps us discern what should be said and what should be left unsaid.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything that comes, you know, like you say, not everything that comes to you, say, because you can create such a disastrous situation in responding to something that if you had just held your tongue, would have made a big difference in a relationship.
It's not easy though, Tamara. It's not easy. It's a learned behavior, and you have to be intentional about it.
You have to be intentional about it. So it's training yourself to not be reactive. Give yourself a few seconds to process and say a quick prayer before you respond. The good thing is with emails, you don't have to respond right away. But if you're in a conversation and it's going, but I find just be quiet.
Yes, listen.
You know, the word says, if you're a fool, no one could know if you keep your mouth closed. No one could figure that out.
Not until you open it.
But when you open it, you remove all doubt. So as women in particular, let's learn how to control our tongues and watch what we say, especially in our relationships with our children and our spouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we are guilty of saying this, I speak the truth in love.
I ain't a purge.
And we use that phrase to excuse them for the excuse of telling people what we want them to hear right away without taking some time to wait and say, let me, if I say this, how is this going to come across? Mm-hmm. How is this going to affect this person if I say it? Not every truth should be spoken. Yeah. Sometimes you need to leave things as mysteries. Just leave it and allow God to work the truth out in another way, you know? So timing is important as well.
And so we live in a culture when you have to be quick. You got to respond quick or immediately. But wisdom, as we have been saying throughout this series in our study of the book of Proverbs, wisdom is completely opposite. And if we model ourselves after Jesus, there were times when he spoke boldly and there were times when he remained quiet. I think of him when he was traveling with the cross. I mean, these people were throwing insults and they were humiliating him.
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture said he didn't say a word I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I probably feel it justify something, saying something like, y'all don't know what's coming for y'all to make myself feel good. Yeah. You know, but he didn't say a word. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations like that when somebody wants to embarrass us, someone wants to insult us, and we believe we have to say something. Because I've been in situations like that where someone would say something and I figure, well, like, I'm not going to let you get away with this. I need to answer you back. Yeah, I may say I answer you back gently or in love, Vanessa, but I feel like this warrants something. But Jesus' model was in certain situations. Yes, there are times when we should answer back and not let people think that we are our doorstep for them. Yeah. But there are times as well. And like you mentioned, Vanessa, sometimes with our spouses and with children and with family members, sometimes you just need to be quiet.
Yes.
And be silent.
Yes. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. So there's a time to be able to share. And you need the Holy Spirit's guidance and help to tell you now is the time. And if you're in relationship with your spouse, ain't every time you go word for word.
No.
You know, as a mature believer, you need to take some things to the Lord in prayer and allow the Lord to work it, I say, in the king's heart. Because the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, in his palms. And he turns it whichever way.
Yeah.
So you don't need to be stressing yourself.
Because you can't control it anyhow.
You can't control it.
Yeah, I think it's so important to use wisdom, to allow wisdom to help us to determine when to speak and when to be silent.
Yeah.
Vanessa closes out in prayer, please.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the relationships you have placed in our lives. Help us to be faithful friends, loving family members, and people who reflect your grace and compassion. Teach us to forgive as you have forgiven us. Give us wisdom in our conversations, patience in our interactions, and hearts that seek unity rather than division. Strengthen our relationships, Lord, so they become sources of encouragement, support, and a testimony to your goodness. May your love, our love for others, reflect your love for us. In Jesus' name,
amen.